Praise the Lord. I tell you what, I love being in church. I love Wednesday nights. So appreciate we have such a good group that comes out Wednesdays, and you're hungry for God. You're covenant Christians. Amen. You know, church isn't just a casual, you know, volunteer. You know what I mean? Just something that just, well, you can take or leave. You know, it's serious to you. And, you know, God told Samuel over there in 1 Samuel 2, we didn't say it to Samuel. He said it in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 2:20. He says, those that honor me, I will honor. Amen. And as you just keep honoring God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But as you keep honoring the Lord, wait for it. Oh, okay, good. We're done with it. Praise God. But he's going to honor you, amen, as you just keep putting him first. You keep seeking his house, seeking his word, being taught the word, feeding on the word, moving with the Holy Ghost. He's going to meet all your needs, amen. Praise God. I'll tell you what. Thank God for the word of God. So number one need of all of humanity is God's word. You know, and all throughout history, as the devil has tried to diminish it and trample it and try to make it obscure, the more it's grown. You know, do you realize that there are more Bibles, you know, published every single year than all the other books? There's never been a year since the Bible, what we consider, you know, the English form of the word there in the early 1600s. But since then, there's never been a year where that hasn't been the number one published book by far, by far, by far. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, let's turn in our Bibles here tonight. Go to the book of Ephesians. Why don't we start in the New Testament? And I hope you're ready to let your fingers do the walking, because I have several scriptures that we're going to go to. And I'm going to call this message tonight, Keys to Living in Strength and Vitality. Keys to Living in God's Strength. Now, I don't know about you, but I think we all could use a little of this. Amen. We could all, you know, every day we could use, a reminder of God's strength on the inside. You know, the world has an interesting definition of strength. You know, they think it's something that's only associated with youth. They think that it's an element that just diminishes and diminishes and diminishes. But the Bible says that strength and youth are actually renewable resources. Amen. That we don't have to just, you know, prescribe to the world's definition of what strength is, and that you can just expect to have it when you're, you know, real young. But as, you know, time goes on, you're just going to lose it, and life is going to become more of a drag, and you're just going to have to grind things out in this life. And well, I tell you what, when God's grace gets on your life, there's going to be strength to do all things. Amen. Go to Ephesians and go to the 6th chapter. And then we're going to flip over to Philippians there right next door. Go to Ephesians 6:10. And I'm not going to really teach on these first few verses extensively. We're going to read them and talk about them for a second. But you know, the world thinks that strength is something that disappears with age. But I got good news for you. The word doesn't say that strength is dependent upon age. Amen. And the Bible says that we can be fruitful in old age. Yeah, and the world, and of course that's not the topic tonight, but of course, the world has this negative look upon getting older, that as you get older, you become less valuable. But the Bible says that as you get older, you become more valuable. Yes. Listen, our strongest years should be our oldest years. Yes. Our greatest years of harvest should be our older years. Now, of course, you know, we're blessed to have, you know, a lot of people consider this, you know, kind of a younger church, and we have a lot of young families and first-time parents and a lot of little kids being born all the time, you know, all of this stuff going on, and people think, well, you know, they're just a younger church. Well, guess what? You know, that's only half of it. You know, okay, we have another half that they're not first-time parents, okay? That they are, that we are getting older. And listen, we are living in a generation, even in the church era, that is focusing more on youth than it is on eldership. Yeah. Listen, I'll tell you what. The Bible says that let the older teach the younger. And now we're living in a day and a time where they're trying to have the younger teach the older, trying to say youth is the only, you know, the focus of the church today. We got to make it more youthy. We got to make it more relevant. We got to make it this. We got to make it that. No. God has good things in store as we grow in age. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so it's not just something that disappears with age. It's not just a diminishing element, right? And the world kind of has this idea that strength is something that once you lose it, you can't get it back. Well, I got good news for you. If you feel like, you know, you've just lost your strength, you've gotten frustrated, maybe worn out, burnt out in life, well, I got good news for you. You can get your strength back. Amen. We're going to talk to you tonight about some strength and vitality verses. Praise the Lord. Of course, here we are in Ephesians 6:10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, our strength is a diminishing element, but his strength is not a diminishing element. It is unexhaustible, right? Praise the Lord. And so the Bible never told you to be strong in your might. It told you to be strong in his might. And his might doesn't run out. It doesn't diminish. It doesn't run low like a AA battery or something like that. Praise God. And the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Glory to God. Go over to Philippians, just the next book over. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. A familiar passage to us. A verse that perhaps we quote or should be quoting, meditating on a regular basis. It says in verse 13, it says, I'm reading out of the King James to start. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Yeah, I can do all things. All right, but I want to read this in the Amplified Bible. If we could bring that up, that would be good. This is how the Amplified puts it. Of course, the Amplified is a scholarly Bible that brings out the original Greek language of the New Testament. He says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything. I am equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Isn't that good? But notice what the Amplified says, what Christ is personally doing. He's personally infusing strength into us. All right, that's where strength comes from. Listen, here's the good news. Strength is not a product of the flesh. People think, well, you know, strength diminishes as the body ages and as the body diminishes. But here's the good news is that strength is not dependent, or I should say it this way, that the flesh or your body is not the source of strength. So that's good news. That's really good news because we all think, well, you know, just, you know, the older we get, this we just don't have much strength anymore. Wrong. Now, that's not to say, you know, maybe you're not going to be signing up, you know, to play intramural football anytime soon, or, you know, you're not going to be jumping into a full contact hockey league or something like that anytime soon. I know I'm not. All right, I'm not saying you're going to be as fast as you were, meaning you're going to run as fast as you were, you know, you did when you were 16 or 18. All right, we're not talking about just that kind of, I'm not talking about athletic ability, but I'm talking about a vitality, a strength to get done what God has called you to do, a strength, you know, a God-given strength that you can face every day. You can enjoy your job. You can enjoy your family. Amen. You can be healthy and active in this life. Praise the Lord. And so we see this, that Christ is the source of strength. You know, how many of you have Jesus living on the inside of you? All right. Well, if you're a born-again Christian, that's you. And guess what he wants to do? He wants to personally infuse you with strength. Yeah, and it's not just a barely get along kind of strength. It's an overcoming, victorious kind of strength. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Now go with me back to the Old Testament. I told you we were going to flip around a lot. Go back to Isaiah, another familiar passage of Scripture. And of course, people read this at different times, but how many of you know it's not just a hallmark scripture? You know, we see this on paintings and such, and that's fine, but it's God's word to you and me. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, we'll start there. Isaiah in the Old Testament. Now, how many of you know the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6, it says that we have a better covenant established upon better promises. Yeah. The Bible says that the promises of the New Testament are better than the promises of the Old Testament, okay? And so whatever is promised in the Old Testament, we have that plus something better, all right? And obviously sometimes we need to know and understand this, that the Word of God is still valid in the Old Testament, all right? There are certain things that were replaced by the New Testament, but if it wasn't replaced by something better in the New, then it's still poignant for us today, all right? For example, in the Old Testament, they had the blood of animals. Has that been replaced by something far better? Yes, it's been replaced by the blood of Jesus, all right? The blood of animals could only cover their sins for a short period of time. How many of you know the Bible says the blood of Jesus can wash us permanently? It doesn't just cover our sin, it washes our sins. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so unless it's been replaced by something better in the New Testament, it's still good for us today. And this is one such promise that is still good today. Are you ready? It says in verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increases strength. Okay? You could read it this way. You could say that second portion of that scripture, and to them that don't think of themselves as being strong, he increases strength. You could say it this way. He increases strength with your humility. All right? Where you don't look at yourself and think that you're just strong within yourself. All right? And so verse 30, notice it says this, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Look at verse 30 again. It says, even those in youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. Notice it wasn't the age that was the variable that depended upon the strength. Notice that God didn't need a person to be young for them to be full of strength. The variable that counts or that increases strength is in verse 31, those that wait upon the Lord. All right, those that wait upon the Lord. That word wait there, it doesn't mean to sit and let time go by. You know what I mean? And yeah, there's times when by faith and patience, of course, we inherit the promises. But the word wait doesn't mean I'm just waiting for God to do something. The word wait there means to serve him. Like you would wait upon, like a serving staff, like a waiter or a waitress. It means to serve God. But those that serve God shall renew their strength, regardless of age. So notice someone who's older can be serving God and have more strength than someone who's just younger and depending upon their natural youth to have strength. See, you've heard me say this around here many, many times. Strength is always spiritual in its cause. The body is not the source of your strength. Your youth is not the source of your strength. Don't limit the amount of strength that you can have or can't have based on your age. Because the doctor, God bless good doctors. Think, I have a doctor. I love my doctor. I become friends with my doctor. He's a Christian man, and we got to talking about the things of the Lord. I had just an annual physical or whatever a few weeks ago. We got talking about the things of the Lord. I mean, we both got to just preaching right there in the doctor's office, and I almost forgot what I was even there for. You know, and he's like, wow, this has been quite a service. I said, I know, doc, we could take up an offering right now. Want to pay off our church building, Doc? No, I didn't say that. But we had just such a good time, you know, talking about the things of the Lord. And anyway, the body, you know, don't limit yourself. Don't limit yourself based on, well, because, you know, doctors will tell you, well, you're this age now, so therefore this is the only amount of strength that you really can have. You know, and they're just, medically speaking, I'm not saying that that's untrue medically. They're just going by empirical data that, you know, has been derived. They're just doing their job. We're not criticizing them, okay? But how many of you know we have a word that's higher and greater? Amen. You know, and so many times the world tells you, well, you get to this age, don't plan on having strength. Well, when you get there, don't plan on having strength. No, God says, wait upon me. Serve the Lord. And I will, he says, what? Renew your strength. Strength is renewable. It's not exhausted. It doesn't mean it can't be renewed. You know, it doesn't mean it just goes away forever. It can be renewed. It says, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, I tell you what, that is a good scripture to be confessing out of your mouth, right? Amen. I will run and not be weary. I'll walk and I won't be faint. Praise the Lord, all right? So I just wanted to start off here tonight by letting you see in the Word that youth and your body is not the source of your strength. all strength is always spiritual in its cause. If you feel like your strength level has been diminished, I got good news for you. It can be renewed and it can be returned and it can be refreshed. All right, because I've seen a lot of believers, and I've seen some of you even in this church, maybe you're even here tonight, where you're just starting to see some of your strength levels deplete, and I'm here to tell you why. All right, I'm here to help you and make sure that that doesn't happen. All right? And of course, before I even get to it, this wasn't even a point on my message, but of course, so many times people are just so busy. Just so busy. Got so much stuff going on in their lives. Listen, I'll just tell you right now, if you're planning on just always running, it's going to be very difficult for God to renew that. If you don't know how to discipline yourself to get into quiet time and spend just some simple time with your family, simple time in quiet, have some recreation. Yeah, if you don't learn how to balance that, I'm telling you, you're not going to be renewed in your strength if you're just always going and going. Go to Proverbs 4:18. Go, keep going back there in the Old Testament. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Here's a scripture that you hear me quote around here a lot. And we're going to look at it a little bit closer. Again, I'm just showing you, you know, kind of renewing your mind away from the world's idea that strength is just a depleting resource. It's just always leaving you. No, that's wrong. It can be renewed. Amen. We can serve the Lord and wait upon Him and be strengthened and renewed on a daily basis. Praise the Lord. There's so many people that are running. If you feel like you're just grinding things out in life, that is no way to live. That is not God's plan for His people, that you're just living a life, that you're just grinding out life. If you're grinding out life, then somewhere along the way, there's been some grace that you've gotten out of. You've stepped outside of God's plan if you're just grinding. You know what I mean? That there's constant friction. There's constant just exhaustion. You're always tired. You know, then somewhere along the lines, you've gotten out of God's grace. You've gotten out of the plan, you know, because his grace is like oil in an engine. You know, it keeps things lubricated. It keeps things running smooth. Amen. And so many times people just get themselves way, way, way too busy. And I've preached on that a lot because the Spirit of God is having me warn this church. Warn this church that you just get going. If you don't learn to slow down, be quiet. The Bible says, what is it? 1 Thessalonians 4:11. It says, study to be quiet. Yeah, right. Study to be quiet. What does that mean? Limit the amount of voices that are coming into your life. Limit the amount of voices. You know, we live in a time where there are more voices in this world than ever before. 1 Corinthians 14:10 says that there are many voices in the world and none that are without signification or meaning or purpose. All right? Or significance. All right, there's a lot of voices in our ears all the time. Okay, of course, this wasn't as much the case in the days of Jesus, but now we have TV, now we have radio, now we have Facebook, now we have Instagram, now we have iPads, iPods, we have smartphones, we have radios in the car, radios at our workplaces, TVs in our restaurants. We cannot get to a place so many times in our society where there isn't constant voices in our ears. And what that is trying to do is dilute the voice of God in our lives. That if there's so many voices that you're hearing all the time, it's going to dilute the voice of God. And all of a sudden, it's going to be hard to discern that one voice that you need to hear. So many voices. And I'll tell you what, in this day and time, we're going to need to study to be quiet. Why? Because we aren't going to be able to hear the voice that matters the most if we don't slow down, get quiet, turn the voices off, you know, turn the radio off, you know, get some time away from the TV. My goodness. You know, how many of you know that words are the most powerful creative force in our world today? God made it that way. God made the world with His creative words. All right. But also the most destructive force on the face of the earth is words. We know Proverbs 18:21, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. All right? Think about what all these things are. Think about what Facebook is and satellite TV and satellite radio and iPods, iPads. It's just this non-stop circulation and publication of words. And we get around the wrong ones too much. And it'll dilute our ability to hear God's voice. Listen, I'm gonna tell you right now, I give you my permission. It's okay, you can ride along in your vehicle with nothing on. Yeah. Try it once in a while. How about this? Turn the TV off for a couple of hours. And you know, I mean, so many times people don't even know what to do. You know, they get in their house, they're not even sitting down watching their TV, but they gotta have it on and it's in the background somewhere. They're walking around, they're doing dishes, and they gotta hear that TV because they don't know how to even, embrace quiet. They don't know how to embrace it. Yeah, come on. You need to learn how to get into a quiet place. Praise the Lord. Anyway, that's not my message tonight, but it'll help you. Proverbs 4:18, here's a verse that we quote around here quite a bit. It says, the path of the just or the righteous is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Well, the path of the just or the path of those that are living right for God. Well, let's bring this up in the Amplified, shall we? Listen what the Amplified says in this verse. It says, but the path of the uncompromisingly just and righteous. All right, that is the condition. So if you don't want to be righteous, if you don't want to walk in the statutes of God, if you don't want to put him first, well, the rest of the verse isn't for you then. Because this is a condition that governs the rest of the verse. But I know we have a lot of uncompromisingly righteous around here. Amen. Not self-righteous. Not self-righteous. All right. But you want God, you're living right. All right. It says that person is like the light of dawn that shines more and more brighter and clearer until it reaches its full strength and glory in the perfect day to be prepared. Notice this compares those that will live right as the sun that is rising over the horizon. It will grow brighter and brighter until what? It reaches its full strength. See, the world tells us that your life is more like a sunset than a sunrise. God's word says, no, you're not a sunset, you're a sunrise. Your light's not getting darker, your light's getting brighter. Hallelujah. Say, well, you know, I'm in my 40s now, I'm in my 50s now, I'm in my 60s now, I won't be, no, the Bible says, well, then you'll be shining even brighter. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, of course, I use some illustrations here and there, but there's many mornings when I'm up, especially this time of year, and I get a chance to be in the tree stand or something like that, and in deer hunting and stuff, and you get there, and you're usually sitting there in the dark before the sun comes up, a good solid half hour, sometimes more, you know, and you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, you know, you're sitting there, and you can't see anything, and even if it's a spot that you're not familiar with, you know, you look around, and nothing is familiar to you, but all of a sudden, that sun starts to, you know, crack over the horizon, and then, you know, bit by bit, everything gets brighter. You start to, you know, see things like, oh, wow, I didn't realize there was a creek bed over there. I didn't even realize there was this over there and all that. And I love that part of the day. I love it. Now, I don't like getting up for that part of the day. But there's really something awesome about being up in the morning and watching that light. And it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter until the Bible says, until it reaches its full strength. Glory to God. You're growing into your full strength. That's what the word says. And like I said, the world says life is a sunset. You know, you start bright and you get dimmer. The Bible says you're a sunrise. You start dim and you grow brighter. Amen. See, we got to get our mind renewed and stop thinking like the world thinks, because we don't live like the world. We don't think like the world. We don't act like the world. We're different than the world. Praise the Lord. You getting something out of this? Until it reaches its full strength. I like that. Listen, that tells me that there's always more strength ahead of me. You know, there's always more strength ahead of me than there is behind me. And sometimes the world tells you it's always behind you. No, it's not. No, it's not. And of course, it says it reaches its full strength in glory. God's not even done with you yet.
That's
You haven't even seen the glory that he has prepared for you. You haven't even seen, right? It says that perfect day to be prepared. God is preparing a brighter day. Amen. For those that will be uncompromised. Uncompromised. Are you living uncompromised? If you are, well, good news for you. The path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. Brighter and brighter. Brighter and brighter. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, just knowing that puts strength into you. Just saying that puts strength into you. I'll tell you what, God's word is so laced with hope. You know what I mean? It's just so full of good things, you know. And so don't you take on the negativity of the world. Start looking, oh, life is dim, life is this, life is that. Well, if you're dragging in life, if you're grinding it out, you know, they even call it the daily grind. The daily grind. No, I'm not talking about your favorite coffee shop. You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with getting your day started with a little bit of that. You know, I mean, I have to admit, I look forward to my morning coffee. You know, I look forward to it. It's not that I'm addicted to it. Say, yeah, right, Pastor Tim, you're in denial. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. Nothing wrong with a little coffee. But if you're feeling like life is just this constant grind, somewhere along the way we've missed it. Yeah, there's a lot to do. Yeah, your body can get tired. We're not saying that it can't, all right? We're not saying that you don't have a lot to do or there's stuff. But I'll tell you, God's grace floats it. You know what I mean? Let me see if I can use an illustration. I've heard Pastor Michael talk about something like this. I'm going to use it in a little bit different manner. But how many of you know that things are lighter when they're in water? You know, how many of you know? I mean, you could take something outside of the water, you know, and you could try to lift it with all of your strength, and you would not be able to budge that thing. I don't know what an illustration is. I mean, maybe even something as big as a small car, you know, outside of the water or whatever. Of course, don't go put your car purposely in water to try this. I told you I was going to butcher this illustration. I'm on my way to butchering it. But you get out, you know, outside of a small car, I mean, you might be able to rock it on its, you know, shocks or something, but you're not going to get that thing off the ground. But you get in a little bit of water. I mean, I read this statistic one time that 2 inches of moving water can pick up a cement truck if it's moving fast enough, you know. Or, you know, have you ever seen, I mean, I've seen these videos where, you know, some wild things happen. Someone drives through someone's backyard and they plant their car, you know, right down there in somebody's swimming pool, and they're getting out, and, you know, the guy's, like, pushing the car. He's just moving the car over so he has room to get, you know, out of the swimming pool, however he ended up, you know, in there. But I was just thinking about that. There's no way he could ever move that vehicle like that. I mean, he just, I'm getting pressed up against the swimming pool. I just push back against his car, floated over there a little bit. You know, that is like a picture of God's grace. When God's grace is on you, it floats stuff. Stuff that you could not move on your own. All of a sudden, you know, yeah, it's big. Yeah, it's heavy. Yes, it's a hindrance, but it's floating in some water. You know what I mean? And there's grace, and so you can just kind of move it out of the way. Whereas when you're grinding and life has lost its grace, and if you've moved outside of God's grace, it seems like everything is heavy. Everything is a hindrance. Everything isn't moving for you. Does that make sense? You know, it's like God's grace just moves in and just kind of floats it for you. You know, puts a little buoyancy to it. It helps you to be able to move that thing out of the way. Well, I'm going to give you some keys to living in strength. And I would love to get to all these tonight. I don't know if time will permit, but we're just going to jump in. I have at least 4 things. I have a fifth. If time permits, but at least 4 keys, these are the beginning things, to living in God's strength on a daily basis. Amen. And if you're feeling a lack of that strength or that grace, it's probably because you have put some of these principles down. And believe me, we've all been there. It happens to everybody. It's not a guilt or a condemnation thing, all right? But maybe you'll get some answers. Well, I don't say maybe. You will get some answers if you're feeling that grind. Here's why, all right? Number one key to living in the strength of God on a day-to-day basis is number one, feed your spirit. That's right. Feed your spirit. It is just plain and simple. Like I said, all strength is spiritual in its cause. All right, let me show you this. You're in the book of Proverbs. Go over to chapter 14. And another verse I've used quite a bit. Go to Proverbs 14:30. Proverbs 14:30. Feed your spirit. Here's what you need to understand. Of course, if you hear that term, you say, what do you mean, feed my spirit? You know, maybe you're visiting or you're just newer to the church and that term just confuses you. Well, the Bible tells us over there in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Bible tells us that we are our makeup, our the way God designed us. We are spirit, soul, and body. All right, remember, can you bring that verse up real quick? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Of course, the teacher in me won't allow me to go any further unless everybody is caught up on the same page. I don't want to leave anybody in the dark here. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, just so you can see this in the scripture for yourself. Hallelujah, glory to God. Here we go. I know sometimes the computer takes a second. It says, and the very God of peace, this is Paul writing to the church. This is what he said to Christians. And I always got to stop there when I read that statement, the very God of peace. God is the God of peace. He's not the God of your opposition. He's not the God of stress. He's not bringing you trouble. He's the God of peace. And he says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means completely. And here's your complete nature. This is how God made you. He says, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are a three-part being like God is a three-part being. He is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We are spirit, soul, and body. All right? And of course, I always like to teach those in reverse order because obviously in reverse order, people are familiar with it. You know what your body is, all right? I don't think I need to explain that. That's your flesh and bone, the body that you brought with you here tonight. Praise God. Your soul, see, soul and spirit is where a lot of Christians, they get confused. They've been taught, and they've been taught wrong, in this idea in Christianity that the soul and the spirit are the same thing. They are not the same thing. All right? Yes, you have a soul, and you are a spirit being, all right? But they're not the same part. The word soul there is the Greek word psyche. It's where we get our word for psychology, all right? It means the mind, the will, the intellect, and emotions of man. How many of you know you have emotions? You have a mind, you have a brain, right? All right? The Bible says to renew your mind, not remove your mind, all right? I think some Christians, you know, they misread that. It doesn't mean remove your mind. It says renew your mind. Okay, we have a will. We have emotions. All right, we have intellect. All right, that's where our soul comes in, that we have our own will. Remember what Jesus said over there in Matthew 26, the night before his crucifixion? He says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful and heavy. Remember? Remember what he said? He said, my soul is filled with sorrow. But then a couple of scriptures later, he says, the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. Remember how he cried out to God, Father, if it's possible, I don't want to go through this. Let this cup pass from me. He said, my flesh doesn't want to do it. My mind is filled with sorrow, but my spirit is willing to do it. Jesus didn't listen to his soul. He didn't listen to his flesh. He listened to his spirit. The Bible says over there in Proverbs, 23:20 or 20:23? You can look it up later. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. And so your spirit is in the center of your being. Big news, don't live out of this thing completely. All right? Yeah, the spirit can float thoughts to your mind and you can have godly thoughts, but the mind is not the receiver of God. The body is not the receiver of God. The spirit, your spirit is that within you which was born again when you received Jesus as Lord and Savior. See, your mind or your soul has to be renewed. Your flesh has to be crucified or put under. How many of you know you can't do everything your body wants to do? How many of you know you can't think every thought that your mind wants to think? But how many of you know? Why? Because Your brain was not born again. Your soul was not born again. Your body was not born again. But your spirit, the true you on the inside, is the part that hears from heaven, right? It's kind of like a radio receiver. How many of you know there's a millions of voices traveling through this room right now? And of course, we don't hear them because we don't have a radio tuner. But if you had an FM dial or an AM dial or shortwave or ham radio and all these different kind of radio waves that are in the world, if we had a receiver, you could tune that in and you could hear what those voices are saying, right? Well, in the same way, when we tune our spirit, we will hear what God is saying to us, all right? So I wanted you just to catch, you know, anybody up that was unfamiliar with that term spirit. We are a spirit being, all right? And your soul does go to heaven with you. But when someone goes to heaven, their soul will be completely and finally renewed. But your soul is where your personality is. Your soul is where your sense of humor is. Your soul is where your emotions are, okay? And so when you get to heaven and you see people that you knew here on the earth, they're going to have their same personality. All right, it's going to be perfected. You know what I mean? It's going to be appropriate and it's going to be godly, but they're not going to be just some opaque, you know, apparition floating around. All right. They're going to look like them. They're going to look like a whole lot better, you know, them, but they'll still have their soul. Okay. But it's the spirit of man that communicates with God. All right. And so now Proverbs 14:30. Number one way you live in the strength of God is to feed your spirit. All right? Your spirit works upon the same principles as your body does. Okay? Think about it. All right? Your body needs to be fed. Your body needs rest. If you're not careful, your body can grow weak. All right? How many of you know you can exercise your body and make your body strong? Oh, I'm convicted myself now. As soon as I start, you know, I would really love exercise if I didn't hate it so much. Is there anybody that God, you know, someone that just love? Where's Joe? Where's Joe? There he is. Joe, you need to come out here and lay hands on. He's a personal trainer. I think we've even talked for like years, like he was gonna start like helping me exercise and stuff like that. He just needs to lay hands on me. I was driving down Howard Avenue the other day. I saw you out running. He's out in a jog, just enjoying it. And I'm like, God, I love that brother. And I despise him right now. Because he's just enjoying himself. He's all in shape and all that stuff. And I just have such a godly envy for people that just love exercise. And maybe it's just a lack of discipline. I don't know. But praise the Lord. God bless you folks that love to exercise. But how many of you know you can exercise your body and you can make it stronger? Sure. You can make it healthier, right? You can streamline it if you work hard enough, right? And how many of you know, I mean, this is, again, Joe, I think you would be able to tell us more about this than I could. But how many of you know that exercising reverses the effects of aging? All right? Exercising will actually give you more energy, more strength, you know. And how many of you know the spirit works on these same principles? You can feed your spirit. Of course, Jesus said over there in Matthew 4:4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Just like food feeds the body, the word of God feeds your spirit. We're going to talk about how to do that, all right? You can, of course, if you're not careful, you can allow your spirit to grow flabby, just like you can let your body grow flabby, right? I'm not looking at anybody. I always feel that pressure when I'm saying stuff like that, because I've had several people come up to me over the years and say, Pastor, you were looking right at me when you said this and that. I'm like, oh, come on. I wasn't headhunting for anybody. But now we know who's guilty. But you can feed your spirit. You can give your spirit rest. You can exercise your spirit, right? You can grow your faith, right? You could have your spirit free of contaminants like jealousy and hatred and things like that, right? Just like you can get the contaminants out of your body with exercise, all right? So your spirit, just like your body, you can allow it to grow weak or you can make it strong, all right? Look at Proverbs 14:30. It says, a sound heart. The word heart is also interchangeable with the word spirit. The heart of a man, it's not talking about that, you know, muscle pump in your chest there, which we are certainly glad we have one of those. But it's talking about your spirit. He says, a sound heart or a sound spirit, or you could say it this way, a heart at peace. And the word sound there, it's not talking about an audible sound, like the sound of a voice or an instrument. It's talking about being at complete peace and rest. All right? A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Wow. All right? A sound heart is the life of the flesh. The word life there, it also means health and strength. So you could read it this way. A sound spirit, or your spirit that's at complete peace, is the life and the health and the strength of your flesh. Notice the Bible's telling us that our bodies are a reflection of our spiritual health. All right? Notice the body, where it gets its strength from. It doesn't get its strength from just being young. It doesn't get its strength just from the food you eat, though how many of you know good nutrition is important? Again, I probably could use some help with that too. I think I'm moderate. I think I'm fairly moderate in that regard. But I think we probably all would admit that we could probably all eat a little better. Yeah, praise the Lord. Don't you love it when your pastor is convicted in front of you? I don't think I'm a excessive eater, but I think we all probably look at ourselves at times and say, man, I wish I would just eat a little better. But how many of you know the Spirit works the same way? And it tells us that our flesh is really deriving its strength from our spirit within us. Yes. All right? That's why your body or your life, your strength is not dependent upon the body. Right? It's dependent upon your spirit. The stronger your spirit is, the stronger your body's going to be. Oh, come on now. Praise the Lord. Or you could say it this way. The more strength you have in your spirit, the more well-fed your spirit is, the more strength you're going to have and enjoy. All right? Now, what would happen to your natural body if you stopped eating? Okay? What if you stopped drinking water? Right? What if you stopped feeding your body? You're going to grow weak. You're going to grow tired. You know? You're going to eventually grow very, very unhealthy. Well, imagine what happens to our spirit. So many Christians, they're not feeding on the word, okay? What if we fed our spirit like we feed our bodies? Well, I tell you, we're always quick to do that. We don't miss a meal. You know, maybe you fast a little bit here and there, and that's a great thing to do. You skip a meal and pray. Listen, but I'm talking about, so many times, I mean, our whole day is scheduled around breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, you've ever been there and you're on the clock and you're on the job and you just long for the noontime hour, right? You long for it, right? You want to eat all the time. Well, imagine if we fed our spirits with even a fraction of the diligence that we feed our bodies. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Yep. Your flesh, your health is a reflection of what you've been feeding your spirit. What becomes of your spirit will become of your flesh. They're going to follow each other. All right? Your flesh is going to follow your spiritual health. All right? When your spirit gets weighed down by stress, unforgiveness, jealousy, your body will suffer. Look at the second half of the scripture. Envy is the rottenness of the bones. What is envy? It's jealousy. What is envy? It's stress between a relationship. What is envy? It's strifing and arguing between people. Yeah, what is envy? It's stressing out about how somebody else has it better than you. Yeah, that's what it is. And so all those, you know, people get so concerned what other people are saying, what they're doing, what they're wearing, what they're driving, where they're working. And all that envy, all that jealousy, notice what it does? It rots your flesh. people that are angry, strifing people are not going to live as long on this earth. Anger will shorten your life. Temper will shorten your life, but we're going to talk about that in a little bit here. All right, so Proverbs 14:30 makes it very clear that the strength, the source of our strength is in our spirit. But what if you don't feed it? What if you don't feed it? All right, so let's ask the question, how do you feed your spirit? How do you feed your spirit? And I know probably the first thing that jumped into a lot of our minds here is read the word. Okay, well, that's not a bad thing to do. I'm going to say something that might absolutely shock you. The Bible never, ever tells us to read the Bible. The Bible tells us to meditate on the Word of God. Meditating and reading are two different things. Reading is different than feeding. You should be a feeder more than a reader. Because I know people that have read the Bible over and over and over again, and they still don't get it. Because they read when they should have taken the time to feed. They should have gotten fed on the Word. The way you feed your spirit is, number one, you meditate in the Word. Let me show you. Can you bring up Psalm 1 and verse 2? Psalm 1, 2. Just one scripture that tells us, and I'll tell you what meditation is here in a second. It says, but his delight is in the law or the word of the Lord. And in his word or law, those words are interchangeable. It's talking about meditating in the scripture. And in his word, does he meditate day and night? All right? He's feeding his spirit. Look at the result in verse 3. This is what happens when you feed your spirit. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Where does prosperity come from? It comes from a well-fed and strong spirit. It does not come from money. Money's included, but money does not equal prosperity. Prosperity is a full, strengthened, and fed spirit. Because he meditated day and night in the Word. He fed himself the Word of God. Let me bring you Joshua 1:8. Can you bring that up, please? Joshua 1:8. Another scripture that talks about meditation in the Word. It says, this book of the law, or this book of the Word, shall not depart out of thy mouth. That means don't stop speaking it. He said, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. I like that. How do you have good success? Again, another verse that talks about prosperity and having things work out. Well, no, the reason why is because they meditated in the Word. All right? What is meditation? Notice it doesn't say to read. It says to meditate. All right? There's a difference between reading the Word and meditating on the Word. All right? When someone just reads the Word, they will have a lot of mental knowledge. They will have a display of the Word. Right. Have you ever been to like one of these fancy cafes or these bakeries or maybe even a donut shop, or actually even Starbucks does this. Like, you ever been into a Starbucks and you go in there and you're looking at that little glass case of all their pastries and stuff? Speaking about eating, right? Here we go. Telling on myself that I'm looking at the pastry counter. Yes, I look. You know, and they have their Danish and their different pastries in there, and you look at it, and you say, ooh, that looks pretty good. And I'll say, I'll have one of those cheese Danish right there. They say, well, we're all out of those. And I'd be like, well, what about that one? I see one in there. No, that's just for display, all right? You can't eat that, right? It's kind of like that when someone reads the Word, it's like, they have a display, they have a mental knowledge, but nothing's being eaten. Have you met people like that? They're like the display model. You know, they're like that display donut in the case that it looks like they can regurgitate the Word and everything, but they have never fed their spirit. I was raised in a denomination that just thought that by knowing the history of the Bible, just by knowing who Moses was, and you know, we learned who the characters of the Bible were, which that's important. It's a good place to start. But we never fed on the Word. I mean, I knew the history of the Bible and the chronology of the Bible and the characters of the Bible, but I never fed on the Word. I never meditated on the Word, because all reading does is it gets to the mind, but meditating gets to the spirit, okay? All right, reading is like looking at that display Danish without ever getting to eat it. That's what it makes sense in my mind. You're all looking at me, well, Pastor Tim's looking at Danish at Starbucks, apparently. Yes. Well, glory to God. All right. So how do you meditate? The word meditate, it means, are you ready? It doesn't mean to read. All right. Obviously, reading is involved. But meditation means to repeat to yourself. It means to think upon. All right. It means to, now, of course, Joshua was a war general. Now, how could he, if the Bible said, if God would have told him, read the word day and night, how can anybody read the Bible day and night? You can't, but you can meditate day and night. I'm going to show you something tonight that you may have never seen before in the Word of God. I'm not trying to be clever or have something new, but the Scripture just tells us very plainly, you know, when you have fed your spirit correctly, the Word of God will, the meditation process continues even while you sleep. Even while you sleep. Yeah. Say, well, where's that? Well, I'm about to show you here in just a few minutes. Okay? But meditation, it looks like this, all right? All right, go back over there to Psalm 1:3. That was a good scripture. We use it a lot around here. But he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. You know, shall bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and everything he does shall prosper. I mean, that's a good verse to meditate on right there. All right? What does that look like? That looks like you taking the scripture, turning that, and then you read it. You know, you start. Yeah, memorization might be, you know, a part of it. But you just take it and you say, I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. My leaf shall not wither. I'll bring forth my fruit in my season, and everything I do will prosper. You know, what are you doing? You're repeating it to yourself. You're speaking it to yourself. It's like you preach yourself almost a little mini sermon. You know, what I would do, and I still do, I have several of these. I have binders. I have little index cards on binders, and I would just write down scriptures, and I would flip through that, and every day I would take three or four, sometimes a dozen, or maybe I'd run through the whole book, you know, and I'd just sit there and just repeat those scriptures. I might start, I would look at them real quick to get a reminder, you know, sometimes you just need a little reminder to get yourself going, and then I would just start speaking, you know, those things. Amen. Praise the Lord. What are you doing? You're just repeating it. What are you doing? You are literally writing it upon the table of your own heart. Do you know the Bible tells us that? Over in Proverbs 3, it says you can write upon the table of your own heart. Yeah, whatsoever I do shall prosper. I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. My leaf shall not wither, my fruit shall come forth in its season. Glory to God. You know, you just say that to yourself, and then you preach it again to yourself. What are you doing? You're feeding your spirit. Notice, you might feed on one or two verses as opposed to read chapter after chapter after chapter. Yeah, you do need to spend some time to read the chapters so you can find things to meditate on. But the goal is not reading. The goal is to meditate. Meditation is what feeds your spirit. Yeah, glory to God. You know, I mean, how about meditating on healing verses? Meditating on them, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all my sins, heals all my diseases. Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. It was just as easy for me to believe that he forgives me as it is I can believe he heals me. As much as I'm forgiven, I'm healed. See, I just take those, scriptures and you turn them into your own mini service sermon that you're preaching to yourself. You know, you might have a quiet place. It might be your bedroom. It might be your office. It might be your car. Here's a wonderful thing about meditation, all right? It also means to turn it over in your mind, to think about it. Guess what? Guess what we could be doing on our way to work? Guess what you could be doing, right, young mothers, while you're changing diapers? So many times we think if we're not sitting there on a desk, just with, you know, if we're not reading it right in front of us at that moment, then we're not feeding our spirits. No, yeah, there's times we need to do that. But listen, you can be meditating and feeding your spirit anytime, any place, regardless of how busy you are or not. Amen. Praise the Lord. Feed your spirit. You know, it's like this. What verses on each topic have you fed your spirit? How fed is your spirit on healing? How fed is your spirit on protection? How fed is your spirit on prosperity? God meeting your needs. Come on. How fed is your spirit? All right. Because how many of you know there's certain foods that are more fattening than others? Okay, I'm not meditating. I read it. Okay, I might know what the armies of Israel did. Okay, but I'm not sitting there meditating on when the armies of Israel fought the Amalekites.
Right.
I'm not. I know what happened. And yeah, we can derive lessons and things out of that. That's worthy of meditation. But I go to the parts of the word that are sheep food, that are food for my spirit. You know it's food for your spirit when it's a promise of God.
Right.
If God promised it, it's food for your spirit. All right? All right. Amen. And, of course, you know, I mean, we know that there's certain foods for our body that fatten us up quicker. There are certain verses that will fatten your spirit up. Right? Fatten your spirit up on the topic of healing. Fatten your spirit up on the topic of prosperity. Right? Right, you know, Proverbs 10:22. All these things, all these verses that you hear me quote on a regular, almost every service basis, they're just verses that I've meditated in. Yeah. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it.
Right.
Just meditate on that.
Yeah.
The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. That word rich, don't let it trip you up. It means a full supply. Father, I have a full supply, right? Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many times I've looked at, you know, whether it's something personally or something with the ministry, and I've had to quote Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply. My God shall supply. And his supply never runs out. Amen. Never running dry. It's never going away. It's never diminishing. Praise the Lord. You will never get to the bottom of God's supply. Amen. Feed your spirit. All right, because you will have whatever you make your spirit fat in.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's another way you feed your spirit. Are you ready? Praying in tongues.
Yeah.
Oh, Pastor. Well, yeah. Yeah. Praying in the Holy Ghost. All right. Let me show you. Go to Jude verse 20. That's a good, talks about praying in the Holy Ghost. First of all, just, again, the teacher in me, can you stop over at 1 Corinthians 14:14? Let's try that one. Got to know the word. Got to know it. Okay? Look at this. Okay. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, notice it's unknown. Therefore, it can't be Spanish when you didn't know Spanish. It couldn't have been Chinese when you don't know Chinese, because Chinese and Spanish are known languages. Someone knows them somewhere. The Bible makes sure to let us know. These are unknown tongues. All right? For if I pray in an unknown tongue, what does he say? My spirit prayeth. My spirit. Didn't say the, you know, of course, it's a reference to the Holy Ghost. He said, but my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. The word understanding there is the Greek word for mind. He said, when I pray in tongues, I pray with my spirit. My mind has no understanding of it. Again, a difference between soul and spirit. The Bible tells us to divide soul and spirit. How do you learn to tell the difference? You pray in tongues. You pray in tongues. All right. How do you know the difference between your mind and your spirit? Pray in tongues. All right. And so I just want to show you, bring up the Amplified version. Watch what he says in the Amplified. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive, it bears no fruit and helps nobody. Well, isn't that the truth? All right? Bring up the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 14:2. Again, just so you know that when he says praying in the spirit, it's synonymous with praying in other tongues. For one who speaks an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. See, therefore, it cannot just be human languages. It's unknown tongues because it's not for men. It can't be German, it can't be Spanish, it can't be Chinese, because Chinese is a language for men. All right? Boy, people get ticked at this. But listen, I'm going to show you in a second why you need it and why you need to receive it and do it. All right? He who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. All right? So notice it's a language that God understands, even though people do not. For no one understands or catches his meaning. No one understands him. Not a Chinese guy, not a Mexican guy, not a Russian guy, not an American guy. It's an unknown spiritual language that is for God's people to communicate with the throne of God. No man catches or understands his meaning because in the Holy Spirit, what is tongues? It's praying in the Holy Spirit. He utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to our understanding. Man, what a supernatural benefit. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but the Holy Ghost does. Wouldn't it be awesome to have an ability to pray out things for tomorrow when your mind has no idea, but the Holy Ghost has an idea? Thank God for it. All right, so I wanted you to see that in the Word, all right, that praying in tongues is called how be in the Holy Spirit he utters or prays secret truths. All right, now bring up Jude verse 20. Look at Jude verse 20. There's only one chapter in Jude. It's the second to last book in the whole Bible. And he's writing this to Christians. He says, but you, beloved, you Christians, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What's he saying? He's like, you're going to grow. You're going to feed your spirit by praying in the Holy Ghost. You're going to grow. You're going to be strengthened. Your faith is going to grow. In a sense, faith is not a topic of the mind or the body. It's a topic of the spirit. All right? Praise the Lord. So how do you feed your spirit? Meditate in the Word. How do you feed your spirit? Pray in other tongues. Say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. Well, I have a book. I wrote a book on it. You can have one. Steal one off the, you know, steal one off the book kiosk. Repent later. I'm kidding, of course. I'm just telling you that I don't care if someone buys it or you take it or we just give it to you or whatever. We're not here to make money on it. But I want you to get a hold of the truth of being filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the Spirit, speaking in other tongues because it feeds your spirit. Glory to God. All right. Now, I do want you to turn with me to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 28. Look at the Old Testament prophecy about this experience. Here's what the Old Testament says about the days that would come where God's people would speak in other tongues. Isaiah 28. You know, I know because I grew up in one. I grew up in a denomination that said, speaking in tongues is just nonsense, it's of the devil, all this and that. Well, every time they said that, they were fulfilling this prophecy. Let me show you. There's a lot of Christians that are in this boat. The Bible prophesies about them. Look at verse 11, Isaiah 28, 11. God says, for with stammering lips in another tongue, he, God, will speak to this people. And of course, he did that on the day of Pentecost. He said, for with stammering lips in another tongue will God speak to this people, which was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, by the way. He says, to whom he said, this is what he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. The scripture said that there's coming this experience where God's people would speak in other tongues. He said, this is it. This is supernatural. It's how you refresh yourself. It's how you get rest in your spirit. This is how you rest your spirit. See, we talk about the body gets rest in sleep. But the spirit gets rest through this experience. Your spirit can be refreshed. All right? He said, but there's coming a day, It will be God. It'll be supernatural. It'll give people rest. It'll refresh them. But people won't hear it. They will want nothing to do with it. Isn't that the majority of the body of Christ today? God says it's for you. It's going to refresh you. It's going to give you rest. But he's saying so many of my people just reject it. Every time my denomination told me that it was just a bunch of silly nonsense, you know, I have a lot of folks say to me, and I've heard a lot of people say this, they say, you know, when we come into your church, you know, people seem excited. They seem, I've had people visit, they said, it seems like, you know, your services just feel like a revival service. I'm like, well, no, that's just every service, and it's just different, and why, the excitement, and why do people seem so refreshed? Yeah, you know, well, because they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Because they're filled with the Holy Ghost, because that's the rest. You know, and so many people, they've always said, why does there just seem to be a difference with the Pentecostals? Why are they so excited? Why are they so exuberant? Why are they so, demonstrative in their praise and they're so expressive in things? Well, because they're rested.
Sure.
They're rested. You know, they have the grace of God that's help floating things for them, so they're not grinding everything out in life. Well, praise the Lord. It refreshes your spirit, gives rest to your spirit, regardless of what's going on around you. See, this is how you can have rest even when there's a financial trial. This is how you can have rest even when the economy of the world seems to be collapsing. This is how you can have rest even when, bad things are going on around the world, all these circumstances that try to get on you. Well, guess what? There's still rest for you. You can still be, that is what we are, the Bible says of Jesus, it says the word became flesh, right? It says the light shined in a dark place and the darkness understood it or comprehended it not. The world cannot understand a born again, spirit filled, tongue talking Christian when the world looks like it's getting dark and yet we're still smiling, we're still rejoicing, we're still praising. Because that's what refreshing and rest does. When you are refreshed in your spirit, I'll tell you what, there's nothing in this life that's going to crush you. Praise the Lord. So how do you feed your spirit? Meditate in the Word. Pray in other tongues. Folks, I'll tell you what. Listen, you don't have to be locked up in a room to pray to God. You can be praying in other tongues as, like I said, a lot of young mothers, they struggle with this. They're like, I have all these things to do with our children and all that. Well, you can be praying in the Holy Ghost. You can be praying in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, as you serve and as you, take care of your kids and your home and things like that. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, now when we're just about out of time, I'm going to give you a couple more keys to living in strength, all right? Number two, right relationships. Boy, I preach about this a lot, but maybe this will be a little bit different slant on it. All right, here's the truth. The devil will try to use stressed-filled people to fill the lives of those around you to zap your strength. The devil is going to try to get stressed-filled people around you to try to zap your strength. Never forget that. For the sake of time, you can turn there, or we'll just bring it up here. Can you bring up Proverbs 5:10? Proverbs 5:10. Let me show you this. Now, Proverbs chapter 5 is talking about getting into wrong sexual relationships. But it's not only sexual relationships. It could be wrong friendships. It could be any wrong relationship, all right? You could just say it this way, getting people around you that they don't have the peace of God in their heart.
Yeah.
All right, I'm talking about into your personal relationship, into your personal confidence, people that you take their advice, you listen to them, all right? I don't mean, you spend a little, time ministering to somebody. I'm talking about your personal day-to-day confidence, all right? All right, Proverbs 5:10, it says, less strangers, let's talk about those that have the wrong relationships. He says, lest strangers be filled with your wealth and your labors be in the house of a stranger. You say, what does that mean? The word wealth is actually the Hebrew word for strength. Lest strangers be filled with your strength, or people will take or zap the strength out of your life. Look at the amplified version of this scripture. Look at this. Lest strangers in false teachings take their fill of your strength and your wealth and your labors go to the house of an alien from God. Whoa. Wow, meaning someone that it didn't belong to, telling us that there's going to be people that will try to surround our lives that are going to try to zap our strength. Let me tell you how to recognize them. Listen, I know so many of you in here, like me, I want to believe, you know, I have this heart. We want to see everyone helped, don't you? I want to see everyone walking in the fullness of God's plan. But have you ever been there for somebody and you keep walking around the mountain with them the same thing over and over and over and over, and you realize that they know they have zero intentions of making the right decisions, zero intentions of doing that which it requires to go on with God, and yet you keep striving with them and striving with them and striving with them? Listen, it's a wonderful heart to want to see them get help, but there does come a time, there does come a time when you have to know and discern that that person, they are not receiving from you. They are not getting it. And you are just striving and striving and striving and striving. And what you're doing is that you're giving your strength to strangers. You're giving your strength to someone who will not listen. Jesus called it tossing your pearls to pigs. Don't do it. Listen, I will do anything to help anybody. I will do anything to help anybody. But if they will time after time after time and after time after time, they won't make the decision is required to serve God, I don't go on forever. I don't go on forever. I pray that another laborer would come into their life, someone else that they would hear, and that someone else would have the right words to teach them and to be an inspiration to them and motivate them. I mean, you ever had dealt with people like that? It could be close friends. It could be, you know, close family. I'm not just going to sit there and keep going around the same mountain and on the whole time on the inside, I know. Right. Yeah. You'll know. You'll listen to the Holy Ghost. You know they are not making any choices. Right. Listen, even as the pastor of this church, I will counsel anybody. I will go anywhere to help anybody. Sure. Yeah. But listen, what I won't do is I won't counsel them instead of having them in church. If you want counsel, you got to first be in service, because there's nothing that you can get in my office that you can't get something better out here. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And there's time. I'll counsel people. I'll say, all right, here's the plan. Here's the steps. The Word of God says next step for you, do this. I said, we'll talk next month. They'll come back next month. Did you do that? No. Well, here's your homework again. Come back. Nope, didn't do it. Nope, didn't do it. Nope, didn't do it. Then I said, don't bother setting up another appointment, because you're wasting my time and you're wasting yours. And I'm not going to give my strength to somebody who is going to toss the Word of God to the swine. I'm not going to do it. You know, the Bible says that they trample underfoot. They keep trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus wherewith they were sanctified. They just keep treading over it, no matter how much you help them. Come on, you ever been there before? And I am not saying give up on your friends and family. But listen, there's a time when you must realize it's going to have to come through a different voice than you. There's times that I have said everything that needs to be said. I've done everything I can do, and I leave it in God's hands. I am not constantly preaching down a door. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, I open doors that no man can shut. I shut doors that no man can open. He never told us to throw our shoulders into them. And if the door isn't open, stop throwing your shoulder into it. You're just giving your strength to people that won't listen. And notice it steals your strength and your wealth. How many times I've seen God's people, and it could even be someone as close as a child, a grandchild. It could be friends. It could be family. It could be neighbors. Listen, we want to help. We want to help. But all of a sudden, next thing you know, we start funding their rebellion in life. Don't fund their rebellion. You help them, you help them, you help them. It comes a time where it's either like, it's time to sink or swim. You know? And there comes a time where you start to enable their failure. All right? And so here's what I'm talking about. If you have people like that in your life, that you're striving and striving and striving, and they're not doing what's right, you better back off, because you might not even realize it is a subtle attack of the enemy to sap your strength. You're like, I'm just frustrated with them all the time. They just don't listen. They don't listen. But yet you keep going back for more. Listen, you better back off and say, Father God, I leave it in your hands. I've said everything I need to say. I have loved them with a great patient love. And now, Father, I'm going to pray for them, but I'm going to put diplomatic distance, because I am not handing my strength to a stranger, to someone that will not make the adjustments in their life. Listen, you say, well, Pastor, that just seems so insensitive. No, it's a trick. The enemy is clever, and he's trying to get you to just keep trying to climb that same hill 1,000 times. I'm not climbing the same hill 1,000 times. I'm not doing it. I'm not looking back. Yeah, praise the Lord. See, you got to know who refreshes you. How about this? 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 17. Are you ready? For those of you taking notes, I'll tell you what, this message will change your life. I know it's 8 o'clock or a couple minutes after. I'm almost done. Maybe I'm not. I don't even care. I love you. And when I bring something to the table, I don't just bring you a verse in a poem. You know, if you want a verse in a poem, that's everywhere. That's everywhere. I mean, I just believe pastors should dig in and know a little something about the scripture and give you something to really take home. It's like this. You're at the grocery store here tonight, and you got to take this home and do the cooking yourself. Amen. All right? He says this, Paul, the apostle, he says, I'm glad for the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus. Great name, by the way. Fortunatus. If I had a third son, that would be a strong contender. And Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they've supplied. I think about that. Paul just boldly told them, yeah, you left me high and dry, but these three men came and they supplied what you wouldn't do. Boy, I sure don't want to be remembered that way before God. Listen, if you're not going to be a giver, God's going to find someone who will. Verse 18, he says, for they, these three men, have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. The scripture says, know them that refresh your spirit. Know those that refresh your spirit. Because there's going to be people, the devil's going to move people into your life that just aren't going to, I mean, it's like, again, that same thing. You're just going over the same ground over and over and over and over. And you're tired and you're frustrated. All right, you better get some people around you that refresh you. Refresh you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Know, and it says, know them and acknowledge those that refresh your spirit. Notice the right relationship can refresh your spirit and the wrong one can drain it. The wrong ones can drain it. Yeah. All right. Third key to living in strength. Are you ready? Control your anger. Yep. An angry person will never walk in the strength of the Lord. These are people that can't control their temper. Look at Proverbs 27, verse 3. Look at this. And I'm almost done. At least I keep saying that to keep you interested. Right? Look at it. Proverbs 27, verse 3. I was just sitting there thinking about this verse today. I was just sitting there. I was like, what is that saying? I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now, at least part of it. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty. Have you ever tried to carry just a sandbag? You know what I mean? You know? The word stone is the word boulder, you know. But it says, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. So look at the picture that the scripture is painting. Imagine carrying a heavy boulder on your back while walking through sand. How tiring is that? How tiring is that? How frustrating is that? The Bible says that's what anger is. The reason why you're tired is because you're carrying the weight of temper. Anger and temper. And strife, what it's doing is like a valve that's letting your strength out. Anger is like a valve, and all your strength is escaping. You know what I mean? You ever heard of a leaky valve, maybe in a helium tank or an oxygen tank? You know, and you gotta turn that thing off because you wanna preserve what's in there? Well, it's kinda like that. When you release your anger, when you release your temper, if you're one of those people that have a short fuse, short wick, always got to give them a piece of your mind, well, what's escaping from you is your strength. Doesn't pay. Doesn't pay to have a fight with your spouse. People that carry a boulder on their back walking through sand, it's exhausting. And it drains your strength. All right? Here's a fourth key to living in strength. Are you ready? Sleep. The God kind of sleep. Every human being will sleep tonight, for the most part. But not everyone will sleep in God's kind of sleep. For the sake of time, Psalm 127, verse 2. Psalm 127, verse 2. He says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. You say, what do you mean? I don't see God's kind of sleep in this verse. I do. Do you see it? He says, it's vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. It's talking about those that lose sleep because of worry. If there's something on your mind that's robbing your sleep, you're not in the God kind of sleep. He said, because he gives his beloved sleep that is without the worry, without the stress. Amen. Eat the bread of sorrows. That means they're staying up late, eating, trying to comfort themselves. Come on now. There's probably a few of us that have done that before. God knows where we live. He knows what we do. He says, it's vain to worry about that. Don't go to sleep worried. All right. Real quickly, I told you this earlier, Proverbs 6:22. Let me show you what the word says. If you have fed your spirit with the word correctly, if you've meditated, the meditation process is going to continue even while you do sleep.
Amen.
This is the kind of sleep we should have. When you go, or you can say wherever you go, this is talking about what the word will do for you. It's talking about the word of God. The word shall lead you. Any of you plan on going anywhere?
Yeah.
All right. Say, yeah, I planned on going home about 10 minutes ago. You should know better. When you go, the word will lead you. So you better meditate in the word, because you're going to need to know where to go. You're going to need to know where to go. Notice, it's not just, listen, you can't hear the voice of the Holy Ghost until you know the book that he wrote. There's people all over the place that are trying to figure out how to be led by the Spirit without ever meditating in the Word. You won't. You won't. You will not know the voice of God if you are not first a student in the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, I'm just a Word. I'm a Spirit person. Pastor, I'm not a Word person. No such thing. You can't be a Holy Ghost guy or gal unless you're a Word guy or gal first. When you go, the Word will lead you. When you sleep, the word shall keep you. Or the word keep means to guard.
Yes.
Isn't that good? Yes. You meditated on the word. You fed your spirit the word. And now while you sleep, the word is protecting you.
Yes.
Yeah. Protecting you from what? Protecting you from animated thoughts of the devil?
That's right. Yes.
What do you think all those dreams and nightmares are?
Yeah.
They're just animated thoughts. You know, I knew this, that before I knew Jesus, I was one of those people, I was just tormented with nightmares. I had the craziest dreams and all this stuff. And once I got saved, filled with the Spirit, I mean, I very hardly ever, I mean, probably since I've been a Christian, I mean, I might have had like 3 or 4 dreams in the last 15 years that I'm aware of, you know, maybe a few more than that. I don't know, less than a 10, less than a dozen, I don't know, but very, very, very few. And usually, if that happens, it's because, you know, they're pizza and Pepsi dreams.
Yeah.
Well, you ate a little too much spaghetti before bed, you know what I mean? But when you get filled with the Word of God, it's going to guard you while you sleep. And when you wake, it shall talk with thee.
Yeah.
The Word of God's going to talk with you. The Word of God's going to lead you. And when you fed the Word, it's going to guard you while you sleep. The meditation process is ongoing even while you sleep.
Yes.
How about, what if you just picked up the Bible for 2 minutes? Now, I mean, not the only 2 minutes, but before you went to bed, you fed a little something in your spirit
before you went to sleep.
Well, the Bible says it's going to guard you. All right. Praise the Lord. It will continue to work while you sleep. It's going to keep bringing you strength.
Yes.
is going to guard you and protect you. And the fifth thing, and I don't even need to teach on it, is praise. Praise is another way that we get strength. Praise is another way. All right, remember there in Romans chapter 4, it says that Abraham was strengthened as he praised the Lord, as he glorified God. His faith was strengthened, which means his spirit was strengthened, which then means his body was strengthened. Praising God is a way of gaining strength. Amen? Did you get some help here tonight? Yeah, I know we went a little bit longer, but I wanted to finish it up because, again, I love to put things in your life that will help you to live every single day. Because I have sensed, I have seen, I have talked to people even here at our church that they're just worn down, they've started getting into the grind, and this is why. If you're in the grind, it's somewhere along the way you have not fed your spirit. Because Jesus said, come unto me, all that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon me, right? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. He's saying, what does he say? He's like, I live this life, I live it refreshed. No burden on my back, no yoke around my neck. If you're living with a burden, if you're living with a yoke around your neck, then listen, I'll tell you what, we better dig in and get fed. The Bible says over there in Isaiah 10:27 that the yoke will be destroyed or lifted because of the anointing. Right? Amen. Get around God. If the burden is there, I'll tell you what, feed your spirit. And I'll tell you what, that burden will float right off. You ever seen some of these floods out there in the Midwest? I mean, these big, huge houses. I mean, here they are on these big foundations, but that river crests over its banks, and it just starts floating those houses right off. Well, imagine that. And of course, we don't want that to happen in anyone's house, but imagine that as an illustration of the burdens, that when God's grace, that river of God's spirit starts surrounding you, starts floating off that burden, carrying it down river. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray here tonight.